When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to a special edition of the Athletic NBA Show live in Las Vegas for NBA Summer League. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, Dave DeFore. Got Kelly Eco, who covers the Rockets. Yo. We're going to try to make sense of the Western Conference. So a lot has happened in free agency, specifically with your team. And we'll get to your team. We're going to start at the top. But I want to try to make sense of the Western Conference. And so we're going to start with the Denver Nuggets, who probably deserve the respect that won the championship. This should be team number one. Any qualms?
No.
Best player, just won the title, best player in the league.
Yeah.
Didn't really, I mean, they lost Bruce Brown, and that's a loss. But I think you go into next season, you hope Christian Brown can do more.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're bringing back big government. You know, I think that they're going to be fine. When it gets to the time that matters.
Why did they do that? Why did they bring back Reggie Jackson? Can anybody explain
well,
that to me?
Well, having the salary on the books. But having the salary on the books, like, is better than not.
Okay.
And so maybe they, you know, they package him in a trade.
It's $5 million.
Yeah, it's
okay, but with the Bruce Brown departure, like, how much are we discounting kind of the defensive stuff he did? Just picking up slack for everyone else, obviously, in tandem with Davis Caldwell-Pope off that second unit. But just in general, everything he was able to accomplish defensively.
Yeah, I think we might be discounting it. I mean, he played the third most minutes on the team last year.
Right,
he would handle the ball in situations where they needed an extra ball handler. Right. And now, like, that's not really Christian Brown's game.
Nope.
And that's not really MPJ's game.
Right.
Maybe Aaron Gordon could take on more.
Okay.
But
but you don't want that to be Aaron Gordon's game.
We've seen it.
Right.
In Orlando.
But it was also.
But that's why Reggie Jackson's back.
It was also like a 16-game player versus 82-game player.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
So Aaron Gordon was able to elevate because of the situation, but how is that going to over an 82-game season?
But, I think that the Reggie Jackson signing is, to your point, more about the 82 games. It's get us through the regular season.
I am not accepting that. I won't accept the Reggie Jackson as an answer to any of this.
I don't think it's a good move.
It's not.
No,
it's
Jeff
just
Green's
not.
He didn't play
Jeff
for
Green's
him.
Gone, yeah.
Yeah,
you
okay.
Guys got
now,
Green.
That's a big – that's a huge
Uncle
loss.
Jeff.
I mean, Bruce Brown and Jeff Green,
it's something.
That's key pieces to what they did last year. So.
It's going
to
be about the young guys, though.
That's right.
They need their young guys to step up. It's obviously Christian Brown. Like, Zeke Nagy needs to step up and play.
And he's good. High-energy guy. Like, you can see where he could maybe fill in for Jeff Green.
Yeah. Peyton Watson.
Right.
Is somebody that could maybe step in.
You're going to miss the shooting. That's the thing.
Just the floor spacing, just because having that extra release valve after with Jamal Murray and Jokic, you need those guys to kind of hit those third-quarter threes, fourth-quarter threes, you know, early in the games and kind of get things going. So
think about the big adjustment they made where they were playing Jeff Green over Aaron Gordon in certain situations because he can stretch the floor a little bit more credibly. So I think that's a bigger concern to me than the Bruce Brown role, just because I think the Bruce Brown role you can fill.
Right.
You're not going to fill it the same. It's probably going to be a couple of guys.
Yeah.
But the harder one is that backup big. I mean, Jeff Green was blocking shots.
He was doing everything, a little bit of everything. But is that loss greater than other teams' game this summer?
That's the big one.
That goes into the.
It's
but I think
question.
It got to be number one.
Yeah. Okay. Number two. Memphis is a question mark.
Okay.
Obviously, Sacramento had a really great season.
Yep.
They're a little bit of a question mark to me as well. You have Phoenix. Everybody loves what Phoenix did over the offseason. They brought in some of the best 15th men in the NBA. It's amazing.
My favorite thing is that every time that iteration of a joke is made, we are going to – by the time the season starts, we're going to be calling these guys two-way. And that's how it's going to be.
It's just funny because – everybody thinks they're great signings because it's just names of 15th men that we know.
Except Eric Gordon.
Except for Eric Gordon. Now, that was a great signing.
Friend of the show.
Now,
yes.
I would say this.
Yes, exactly.
We know those guys and the people that are very in love with those signings know those guys because we're wonks. Like, we do this every single day.
Yeah.
There's a – you know about this because we talk about it internally. I have a line – called the Shaq Harrison line.
Yeah.
And Shaq Harrison is a very nice player. I like Shaq Harrison a lot. But
he's also a 15th guy.
And he just got cut again. And every time guys like Shaq Harrison get cut, it's like, damn, I can't believe they cut Shaq Harrison. He's so good.
And then
he gets signed again. It's like, wow, what a pickup.
The good news,
David
though,
Nwaba comes to mind.
Yeah.
But Yuta Watanabe is exactly that guy. I mean,
he is, and
he's a good player. But it's, man, we love a name we know.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, we could play the remember some guys game right now.
Yeah.
I think for those 15th men, it really comes down to how do they manage the ball handling now that you lose Chris Paul. You know, obviously Cameron Payne is still around, but how much is Bradley Beal going to pick up the slack in ball handling? How much is Devin Booker going to handle Kevin Durant? How do those guys all coalesce?
Yeah,
but
that's a great
question. Back to Memphis.
So I think that we can kind of put, though, I'm not really interested in a ranking as much as, like, hey, let's just have a tier here where I think Denver's probably in their own tier. And then you could be like Memphis, Sacramento, Phoenix.
I wouldn't put Sacramento in that tier.
Okay.
I don't love their offseason. I mean, it's okay.
Sacramento's.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Sabonis money, I mean.
I will say this. When I'm thinking about this, I'm ignoring the contract amounts because I don't really care how the team is going to perform.
Okay.
And to that point, I don't really like what they've done either. This was an opportunity to look at yourself in the mirror and figure out where you needed to improve, and they're running it back.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake. This is too early. This team did not do well enough for a run-it-back season.
To just stand pat.
Now, with that being said, if the goal is just, hey, we want to stay competitive, make the playoffs, I think they are a sixth seed.
But if that's the case, why did they clear all that cap space? Everyone thought that they were going to go after, you know, a big-name power forward, a big-name wing to kind of help bolster the ranks.
I mean, they cleared the space for Sabonis.
Yeah, they cleared it for Sabonis. They brought Harrison Barnes back
on a really good contract.
Yeah.
The Lyles move I like. Again,
I like Lyles.
I like these guys, and bringing them back is great. I don't know why they were in a rush to do the Sabonis deal because it did hamstring them a little bit, but also they just haven't improved.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
Keegan Murray is going to have a chance to get better.
Yep. He already has it.
Playing off the dribble.
Like,
yep.
You show stuff.
So
you
that's
know?
A player that could help. Davion Mitchell, maybe.
It just feels like they made the moves that you make after you win the title. Like, you go on rush to re-sign the star player, and you go ink up the wing for
Kelly,
a long-term
to be
deal.
Fair, what they did last year is the equivalent of winning the NBA title.
That is fair.
Okay? They missed the playoffs for 16 years.
That's
fair. Let's
take
the microscope away from the Kings and let them be.
What would Pat Beverly have done if he was on that team when they clinched the playoffs?
He had two jerseys ripping them off.
Yeah. He would call it a dynasty, I think, if Pat Bev was on that team. He'd say, we just have a dynasty.
Well, okay, so I disagree with having them in that second tier. I also, I don't know about Memphis.
It's going to be hard to score.
Memphis is going to have some issues. And now, you know, you get Marcus Smart, that's good. Derrick Rose is more there for a locker room guy.
But
he'll probably give them minutes here and there. But I just worry that with the jaw situation surrounding that team, all these guys are going to be asked about it.
So they've done well in the past without jaw.
Mm-hmm. But they had tires.
They did. That's going to be a big test for them.
Right.
That's going to be a really big
test. They've low-key not had a good run the last couple years in just roster moves.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
kinda hits
it's
and
starting
misses.
To catch up. And that, I think, is a big concern for them going forward. Like, I mean, Zaire Williams,
when is that going to happen?
It was a reach.
Yeah.
It was a huge reach, and it's just not panning out. So, you know, I want to see, I don't know, like, Kennard is going to give them good quality guard minutes.
Right.
So they added some shooting. I don't know. They're in a tricky spot because the Josh situation is so weird. Like, he's going to miss so much time to start the season. They're going to be building chemistry on the fly starting in midpoint, December. And
yeah.
One of the things that we have historically hammered this Clippers team on is how they're constantly trying to scramble and catch up for chemistry.
Yeah.
And it matters.
Yeah, it
and
does.
And so I'm lower on them for this year. I mean, I'm still high on them overall. They have Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, they got Jaren Jackson. They got Desmond Bane.
But what's Steven Adams going to look like?
Steven Adams is a question mark. No Brandon Clark to start the year is also a problem.
It's going
to
be rough. Cancel him out for the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, most likely.
So what do you say defensively for you also lost Dylan Brooks and everything he does in terms of picking. Like, he was their primary ball stopper.
Yeah. Well, and they got Marcus Smart.
So, but I'm saying because of the size difference, you know.
Absolutely.
Brooks is 6'7", going on 6'8". Smart is also a tenacious guard, but can he pick up where Dylan, like, left off?
For I'm about to say something amazing about a 40-year-old dude, but who's going to guard LeBron on that team?
Hey,
right? Oh, like,
that's true.
And the LeBron Titans, and Jeremy Grant's going to put up 40 on these guys.
Jeremy Grant. Okay, stop. I think they hope that somebody out of, like, the David Roddy, John Conchar, Santi Aldama group, that, like, one
Kenny
of
Lofton
those guys
Jr.
could play. Hey, Kenny Lofton.
I play him at the three. Let's go.
Memphis Hustle.
He'll do it.
I got to watch him the other night. He looks awesome.
I like Santi Aldama a lot. High energy. I mean, you know, just, but again, this is now we're talking.
They have a lot of those
we're
guys.
We're in Shaq Harrison.
Jake LaRavia, too.
Exactly. Yeah, Shaq
Harrison.
Yeah. I'm going to start using that because they have too many of those guys that are. It's upside.
It's a play on the Mendoza line, right? Okay. Which is hitting 200 in baseball, right? So I created the Shaq Harrison line, and I think, you know, once you get, if you're talking about the 11th guy, like we already know, those guys don't play in the playoffs, and so their effect is only about regular season impact, and you need innings eaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do they even have that?
So Andrew, for teams like Memphis and Sacramento, I think they're. Like, they're not tier two, but they're, like, 2.5.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
That sounds about
right. I think that's fair.
They're also incomplete because we don't know. Yeah. What's it going to be like when Ja comes back? What if they're bad without Ja?
They could be.
They absolutely could be.
Yeah. They're probably, like, from 5 to 7 is where I would put them.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to give you 7 teams. Tell me if you disagree with any of them in the top 7.
Okay.
Lakers, Warriors, Clippers, Suns, Kings, Grizzlies, Nuggets.
No,
top 7.
Feels about right.
It feels good.
That was the top 7 from last year.
And it feels about right, but there's room. I think someone can come up from that next group.
Okay, let's talk about the next group.
That OKC.
Dallas.
Dallas.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
And they're all, I think out of that group, I like Dallas the least.
Okay.
Yep.
And this is at full strength, full health.
Are we
going to
put Utah in that group too?
No, because Utah's not there yet. Yeah,
okay.
I think that would be rushing, right? Like, I've made a joke that they should trade for Dame. They could actually put
Tony wrote about that.
They could put a really good team.
He's got the Utah connection. He was so beloved during that All-Star weekend.
Oh yeah, that's right. We were talking to those people who talked about coming over. They used to go watch Dame.
Yeah, they were going nuts for him.
Faithful.
They would be really excited to get him.
That would be nice.
And they have the defenders and other players to go with them. They really could be, if we're just saying, okay, process doesn't matter. We're not worried about like losing assets here. We're not worried about being not good enough to win a title, too good to get good picks. If we're just saying, what's the best basketball team that we could build? Like, if it was a team like this, one of the younger teams, that's the one. I mean, Walker Kessler is 4 blocks a game.
Yeah.
They got Taylor Hendricks.
Taylor Hendricks, well,
who I think is just going to
steal
those
this
two.
Year.
That's good luck. You're not scoring inside.
But Hendricks isn't going to start.
No, he's not. But
how much is Hendricks going to play this year?
I don't know.
He needs to play a lot.
I think
because he has first team all rookie written all over him. He does.
Yeah,
he's that good.
40%.
But they're loaded at forward though.
That's the problem. They got a log jam. Which is good if you're a team like Utah. But it's also you got to also work things out.
I also like John Collins rim protection. I think
that's another thing. Is like you bring in John Collins and draft Hendricks. Is Hendricks like a backup center then?
What if Hendricks?
What do they think of him?
3-4.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember, this is Danny Ainge we're talking about.
I think he's a better he kind of fills that Royce O'Neal hole what they had where they had someone that could switch 1-4.
Yeah.
Space the floor, hit. You know,
he just doesn't handle it all.
Yeah.
That would be my concern. Is like there's not the decision making aspect with him.
Yeah.
Where you kind of need those guys on the perimeter. It's really hard to play with a perimeter guy who doesn't make decisions.
Yeah. Right. And my hopes for him is by the end of his rookie year, he can do a straight line drive.
Yeah.
Right? A pump and go.
He can shoot from the corners. He can block shots.
He's
like, those are the things he does.
But if you have those 7 teams you just named that are theoretically going to stay put, where does the change come from?
That's what I was going to say. Like, putting Dame in Utah, does that move them into the top 7?
I think it would.
For sure. It makes them interesting.
Your starting lineup is Dame, whoever they have at the 2, after a trade.
Yeah.
Lowry, so Clarkson will be there? Or
Clarkson's there, yeah.
But he may have to go out in a trade. Okay. But, like, you've got Dame and Clarkson. So that's not – you're not doing that.
No.
But your four of your five is set.
I mean, Abaji, I guess, could start at the two. Yeah. I mean, they really like him there.
I mean, that'd be a good team. But
Markkanen's good. I don't know.
You don't do it because you like rush. But
how much better – I mean, Portland was not good last year. Like, how much better are they than what Portland was when you, like, stack up the roster?
Not much.
Not much.
No.
So that's why I'm like, I would not do it.
They'd be a playoff team. They'd be a top
A play-in team or a playoff team?
Because what they need is Dame. They're going to be a good defensive team. I also am a big Will Hardy.
Will Hardy's good. So. He's good. But they need to allow this to build a little bit more slowly.
Don't rush the process.
There's no reason to
rush it. I know this is like a Western Conference thing, and this pod may, you know, Dame may be traded by the time it comes out.
Yeah.
But there are not really a lot of good Damian Lillard fake trades. Like, there are not a lot of...
It's hard. Yeah. The money is a lot.
And the type of player
he is. He can't come in and he has to... The system has to be fit to what Dame does specifically.
Yeah.
So, like, going to Miami... In theory, that makes sense, but he's going to change what they do fundamentally.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Miami might be the best damn basketball fit. If you think about the way that they had Caleb Martin and Strus and Gabe Vincent playing, but it's Damian Lillard.
I mean, it would be amazing, but, like, if you're Portland, you cannot accept that offer.
It's the worst. Well, if you're the GM of
it's
the
really
Portland
bad.
Trailblazers, you can't take it unless you want to go look for another job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still like the idea of involving the Sixers.
Okay.
Getting Dame to Philly, getting Harden to L.A., and then give all the picks just go to Portland.
To Portland? But, well, the problem with that is, obviously, if they don't like the Heat deal for a reason, why? Because they don't see Tyler Hero or whoever as enough to justify you losing your franchise player. So, how many picks are we talking about going to Portland? Like, five, six?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have to be four or five and then swaps.
And who was the interesting young player? Like, to just
I just don't think you need one. That's the benefit if you're Portland is because you already are basically two drafts in to a rebuild because you have Scoot Henderson.
Okay, so are you saying that the reason why the Blazers don't love Miami's offer is because there's not enough draft capital in there?
And also the value of the draft capital too, because Miami just rarely sucks.
Yeah.
Where with other teams, like, there's more volatility. If you get Sixers picks, what are the Sixers going to be in 4 years?
Right.
I don't know.
That's fair.
I'd push that back. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
What I would do is if I'm Portland, I just try to bleed both those streams dry of as many picks as possible.
And just take them all.
And just take the picks, take the cap relief, take expiring contracts from those other teams.
Call it a day.
And then just be done with it. And just start the rebuild with Scoot Henderson.
You have Scoot.
And Sharp.
Yeah.
You have Scoot.
Yeah, Shaden Sharp, too.
That's the three S's.
I mean, if the Rockets started their rebuild with those three and didn't even have their first draft yet, you would feel so good about what they were doing,
and if they
had all the draft capital.
For sure.
Like, that, any team would feel good about that. Yeah. They don't have to worry about getting that blue chip back, in my opinion. Just get the picks.
Yeah, because they already got the blue chip.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes
a lot of sense.
And that's why you just don't hang on to Dame.
No.
Let him go.
So why do they give him that money to you? Like,
well, that's just the business that we're in, man. Like, I mean, why did Bradley Beal get the giant contract? I mean,
that's true.
You know, it's just I think that this is going to change with the new CBA.
Yeah.
The fear of the second apron. But it is a done deal every single time a quote-unquote max player walks into the next extension.
Yeah.
Like, it is just – and the blueprint is sign the extension, wait a year, ask out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just where we're at. I mean, free agency is now dead.
Yeah.
The extensions and trade requests are where we're at.
This is good, though, for everybody involved.
Sure.
Because – teams don't just lose guys for nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah.
They get picks, they get a player, they get whatever it is,
right,
and can parlay that into something else. And this is why you have to have a smart GM, somebody that knows what they're doing, so that you can get back things that matter and that will matter down the road.
So do you trust Portland to wait and play this slowly until they get the best offer that they think is going to...
I think they've been really bad at trades so far.
They have had... Look, we talked about this on Nerder, I guess last week.
Yeah.
Is what it would be.
Yeah.
not choosing a lane and letting the lane choose you gets you run over.
Yeah.
And so the ownership situation there is kind of a mess. Yeah. Like, you know, they need to sell the team.
Yep.
Joe Cronin, you know, he gets that job, and now he's got to deal with all this stuff. I mean, this is years of organizational failure coming to a head.
Now he has to clean it up.
Yeah.
Well, and that's but the way to start is not doing that Miami deal. It's holding out, hoping that a Philly deal materializes.
Right.
Maybe, you know, or the Knicks go get crazy again, even though they seem to be very sober this summer.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen there. But he would be a game changer for a team like Utah. But in that next group, I don't think Utah wants to be in the playoffs. I don't think that they're ready to be good
yet.
Why
would they trade for John Collins then?
But because why not?
He's available, and the Hawks are desperate to get off that money.
He's a reclamation project. Again, Danny Ainge is playing the long game. And
yeah, but they're not going to be bad enough for their pick to be that valuable.
I think John Collins gets moved to a team that needs a John Collins.
They just gave him away.
I'm telling you.
It's the Ainge playbook.
I think that's why Ainge did it.
You buy low and you sell high. That's the Ainge
Does
playbook.
John Collins have a high to get to?
Well, he's coming off he had that finger injury all of last year. It really affected his game.
Okay.
I like John Collins.
I really need you to sell me on this idea. Because
he was hurt. And this is buying in at the lowest his stock was.
Yeah.
And now he's going to come back and play with Will Hardy's system. No Trey Young to deal with. Those guys share the sugar.
Yeah.
He's going to have a great year.
But won't that help your team, though?
Yeah, they
might. It will, but
it's not good enough.
Yeah, but it'll help Utah. But more importantly, it'll show other teams around the league that this guy is still a player.
The truth is, if they are good, it's a happy accident for them. Like, they probably would be happy to be the sixth seed. I don't think they're going to make a push to be the sixth seed.
Right. It cost them Rudy Gay in the second round.
That's the thing. But they're going to get all those draft picks from Minnesota, like, down the line.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're in great shape.
But I think that John Collins' move is about rehabilitating his value and moving him for something else. Like, that Danny Ainge did that. I just watched him do it in Boston. This is why when you see Danny Ainge draft a guy like Bryce Sensabaugh.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong guard who can shoot. Like, we love these guys. And he's got the knee issue.
Yeah.
But, okay. Danny Ainge, like, that's a Danny Ainge guy.
Right.
So he must know something.
Yeah.
Like, that knee is probably bad because he dropped so far and he's so talented. But I just think Danny Ainge actually knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think if they end up getting the ninth pick in the next three drafts.
Yeah.
Then what was the point?
Well, that's okay.
What are we doing then?
Well,
that's not picking the lane. That is letting the lane pick you. You just said it.
Utah,
the lane is going to pick Utah.
But Utah is playing the asset game just like. They're basically where Oklahoma City is now, and they don't have the young talent.
Yeah.
But they're in that same position where
same
I think
mindset.
They're.
They
and
the
and that's not a fan base that is going to want you to do a full teardown. You can't, like, tank in Utah.
I just disagree. I think that teams that need a direction, fan bases feel so much better when they know what the team's direction is.
I think they like to see competitive basketball.
I don't know. There are teams that have, like, Washington has, like, tried every year. We're going to be competitive every single year. We're going to go for it. Until their fan base hated their team, hated Bradley Beal. And they were just like, we're done with this. And now they're excited. And they're going to be
Well, they got a superstar. They got a superstar, though.
In Bilal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They got a superstar.
It's time to move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so who is next? So 8, 9, 10. Clippers are in our first group.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
So Clippers are in our first group. 8, 9, 10. We're talking Minnesota, OKC, Pelicans, Mavs, Utah. Who do we got?
I mean, I like the Mavs the least. They still have not gotten their big situation. It doesn't inspire me at all.
Yeah.
The Kyrie, look, being in the Kyrie business, the guy's a wonderful player, one of the most beautiful basketball players
it's
to watch.
Too toxic.
But what is he? I mean, he's going to play 25, 30 games this year. We'll see.
As many as he wants.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Pelicans, you know, if everyone's healthy, that team is
good, great,
they would
but not
steamroll.
Enough for me.
But guess what? They're not healthy ever.
Yeah.
So if you don't have Zion, I just don't buy it. Now, I think that they're a playoff team even without Zion. And they had some bad luck last year.
They did. They were first one in the West.
Out of that group, Andrew. Oklahoma City is the one that I could see really moving up. I think they could be the 60th.
if everything goes right, they could. They have a solid starting lineup. They just signed Micić to come over and play a backup guard position.
That's going to help a lot.
Yeah, he'll help that second group. And
Jalen Williams.
You don't believe.
I love Micić. I just don't. I've been burned too many times in the past.
Yeah.
Love, like, Teodosic is one of my favorite players
ever. Oh, my God.
And he was not good in the NBA. I've just seen it too many
times.
And he knows.
Well, they're going to – so,
man. You remember?
I'm never going to forget.
So, they have their starting lineup, and then off the bench, it's going to be Kenrich Williams, going to be Kayson Wallace, it's going to be Nietzsche.
It's solid.
Like, no.
It's a tough bench.
Yeah. Oklahoma City was a solid team last year.
Yeah.
And I think that the Saric – losing Saric is actually kind of big for playoff hopes because I think that he was an important guy.
I'm more meh on that.
He's more of a 16-game guy for me, but they're going to need him in that 82-game span. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I like
they're bringing
in
Chet. They really want to see the other Jalen Williams play a lot.
But how much is that impacted by Chet and the two Jalens?
What is impacted?
What's that?
How much is, like, when Chet comes back into the fold, how does that impact playing Jalen Williams and Jalen Williams?
Not a whole lot, because I think they think of Jay Will as like a backup.
If he's a backup, then yeah.
And J-Dub is a star.
And then J-Dub is going to play the four.
I love J-Dub.
Yeah, he's going to play the four next to him. They're going to play small, and they're going to play fast. They're going to get bullied.
It's going to be Shea,
Dort, Giddey, J-Dub, Chet.
Dude, that... Okay.
That's a league pass.
It's a 2K team.
Yeah.
I'm trading everything for all the draft picks everybody has on 2K, and I'm just getting all these young dudes, and I'm going to go
let them
go do fun stuff. How are you feeling about Chet?
I think he's going to be good.
I mean, defensively, he's going to be good.
Physically,
he's going to struggle.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. He's just not going to be ready to play against the biggest, strongest guys in the league.
Right.
But I think the idea with him is for him to be more of a rover on defense rather than just like straight up like one-on-one you're defending Embiid. One-on-one you're defending Jokic.
So what do you put for his threshold of games played because, you know, the health stuff?
I think the hope is that he plays 60-plus games.
Okay.
And that as long as he's healthy, I think he'll play 60-plus. I think there'll be games that they'll sit him just to give him some rest. But I think he's going to play, as long as he's healthy, he'll play 60-plus games. And I think he'll help. I think he can space the floor. I think they didn't have really any pick and roll partners at all last year. And just having a target that can pick
and pop,
handle a little bit. He'll push and transition himself. He's going to add a lot to what they do.
And also, Shea.
And Shea.
Who I think he might be an MVP guy to watch here in the next two seasons.
Yeah.
Because if he continues that way,
last year he was incredible.
He's gotten better every single year.
Every single season he's gotten better.
If you look back to high school, he's had like unprecedented leaps every single year.
The work ethic is crazy. And he's kind of bought into – because remember there was a time where people were actually considering if he was going to be a long-term guy in Oklahoma City
because of,
you know, everything going around.
2 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
And he sat with you and told you, I'm going to be a guy that wants to stick around. And credit to him, he's raised the floor and ceiling of that group.
Yep.
Well, yeah, he can't leave. They're going to want a new arena here soon, so they need Shea to stay around, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And what's great about the Thunder situation, too, is like they've got three draft picks in the next draft. They're going to have four in the following draft after
just
that.
Just keep coming.
I mean, now what they need is
at some
like,
point to turn those things into
Joel Embiid.
Well,
the thing is Paul
George. What I mean? Like when Joel Embiid
Paul George back.
When Joel Embiid starts to ask out, right? Like, do they try to get in on the Embiid thing?
I don't think so.
Do you know how crazy a healthy Paul George would be with Shea on that team?
It would be great. Like, he'd be perfect just because he's super smooth. He shoots the ball. He defends.
It would be nuts. That's
Has
crazy.
Good size.
Does a healthy Paul George exist? Would be one of my questions.
No, but Andrew Wiggins does. That's my sleeper over there. Andrew Wiggins.
We've already got Aaron Wiggins in OKC.
That's
we
right.
Don't need-
well, that's what it's about. This is a recruiting thing.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. Okay, so OKC, how do we feel about Minnesota going into next season?
Okay,
I like Minnesota.
They're good.
Yeah.
But what are they going to do with Karl-Anthony Towns?
Yeah.
Like, there,
it's a question.
There is a serious, like, there's only one ball.
And it's an ego thing, because I remember a few years ago after, I think it was Jalen Green's first game as an NBA player, I talked to Anthony Edwards after the game, and this is before, this is when it was still considered Cat's team.
Yeah.
And he told me, like, look, like, I'm going to wait it out the process. This is going to be my team in a couple of years.
Yep.
And lo and behold,
here
it is now officially his team. So now how does that affect Karl-Anthony Towns and his contract? And,
yeah,
you know, and because that, I don't think the whole Cat Gobert thing can long term, like, it looks clunky.
I mean, we'll see. You know, Chris Finch is an offensive genius,
he
and
is.
I think
and
you know,
figure some stuff out.
He got a chance
work.
To try some stuff, and then the Karl-Anthony Towns injury last year was a little bit of a. It helped them play like a normal team for a while. I think it, you know, got them into the playoffs
for sure.
But they still have a real problem they've got to solve. But they could if they could rope in the right team to take Karl-Anthony Towns, like to want Karl-Anthony Towns, he's still a really good player.
Right.
They could fill out the rest of their roster pretty nicely. I mean, they already have a good start. I mean, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Rudy Gobert, those three guys are giving you it should be a top five defense.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. You got Kyle Anderson as well, who I think is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have Mike Conley for an extended period of time.
Nasri's
you got Nasri coming back. That's why I just wonder if they're going to do something with the bigs.
They got to.
But which big is it going to be, though?
What's Gobert's trade market?
I would trade Gobert. Well, I mean,
Dallas should have tried to jump on Gobert.
A lot of teams
that's,
should.
That's
just not for that price. Like that.
That's
that,
the problem.
Probably asking for
it. It's a reduced price now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been sent to Ross, you know.
Because
not TJ Maxx.
Because I know.
TJ Maxx still has good
he's
stuff.
At Ross. Yeah.
I know Finch is a X's and O's guru, but I'm not sure how long he wants to sit around trying to figure out how to get the both out of Cat and Gobert at the same time while also keeping Ann happy.
Part of being a guru is knowing that, hey, this is not going to work. We need to
pivot.
It's about
pivot,
the,
yes.
And what's funny is people will think about this from the Cat perspective, but it's not about Cat. It's about Gobert and the limitations that he has offensively and how you can use a guy who doesn't really have limitations in Karl-Anthony Towns offensively, right? Like, amazing shooter, can get the job done off the dribble, but he's not as good as Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
And Cat and Gobert, that's a weird mesh.
It's weird.
Like, they could run some pick and roll together.
They can, but
the problem is Gobert sucks offensively.
Yeah, and so, he's not much of a ceiling raiser. And
that's
for
right.
a team like the Timberwolves that have already given this much money to three guys or two guys, and Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, you need a ceiling raiser to get out of that 9th, 10th, plays in the West.
And defensively, you know, I mean, the way to solve that is if you're playing with Karl-Anthony Towns, is he's your rover.
Yeah.
And Gobert is your rim protector, and you can do a little high-low stuff. I mean, there's ways to make it work. It's just, will it?
Yeah. Right.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
So I think we need that domino to drop.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of dominoes just waiting to drop.
They're still there. Okay, so on the outside looking in, San Antonio, Houston, Blazers, Utah.
I wouldn't group Utah with those guys just because of what you said earlier. Like, they're not there yet, but they have enough to keep it interesting.
They showed it last year.
They're
a
more competitive team.
Yeah.
Now Houston and like teams like that, they're gonna have to do some work. Obviously, you added a Van Vliet, you added a Dylan Brooks,
yeah,
Jeff Green, Landale, but how is it all going to come together? Like,
yeah.
I wonder how quickly Ime can figure things out while also trying to build up Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
I don't know if you can do the two timelines.
You can't do it.
What's the pressure like in Houston right now?
I mean, to win or to, like, just to get better?
To win. Like, to, like...
They have to get to the playoffs this year. They have to. Like, there's no... There is no equation I can think of where they miss the playoffs after spending all that money.
Yeah.
And things are just peachy keen. It's not going to happen. Like, they have to. You gave Fred VanVleet $130 million. You gave Dylan Brooks $80 million. Like, that's, there's a, that comes with the expectation of they're going to win and they're going to win now.
So what are the odds of them making the postseason? What would you put them at?
Wow, it's not great.
That was a great answer.
I don't know, because I just don't know how you can mesh the two timelines. Like,
yeah,
your first timeline was already messed up from the get-go because the development of Jalen Green and Jabari hasn't gone smoothly as you would have hoped for over a 2-3 year span.
Yeah,
now you're kind of rushing things, trying to make patchwork of a team, adding in these veterans who are going to help for sure, but it has to be a team concept.
Yeah. Over under 29.5.
I got them at 27.
27 wins? If that team wins 27 games, there's going to be some heads rolling in that Houston office.
Is it going to be the front office? That
so you're 30 what? Wins. 30 wins?
They can't win anything less than 35 games. Or stuff's like, forget my language, but stuff's going to happen. Like,
yeah.
What? No.
Now that's an answer, Kelly.
So they got to jump 15 games.
There has to be a legitimate, yeah, because, like, if you would have added, let's say, like, if it was just James that came back, there's, because of the emotional aspect, if they would have gotten to, like, 30, 34 wins and at least flirted with the play-in,
yeah,
cool. But you adding, like, 4 or 5 veterans now to a team that has talented young players, you have to make a real impact. And this, they've called this phase two for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And phase two, as I understand it, is getting back to the postseason.
Yeah. OKC jumped 16 games
yeah.
from 24 to 40.
Exactly. A similar type jump.
And that's the hope for them. Right. And I think it all lies within players like Jalen Green
right.
and not necessarily Fred VanVleet.
And my concern
okay.
is my concern is those guys losing the runway
yeah.
to get to the point where they can be the lead dog or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what happens? All right, so VanVleet,
yep.
Brooks,
yep.
is Lawndale the center? Or is Şengün starting?
I think Şengün is.
Şengün.
I think Şengün should be.
Is he actually 7 foot now?
I don't think he's 7 feet. I think he's more like 6'11".
Okay, that's
six,
close. That's taller
six,
than
ten and a half.
He's not 6'8".
No, he's not 6'8", 6'9". He,
right.
he definitely grew something.
So, okay, so you've got that. So, like, Jalen Green is your 2?
Yep. Dylan yep. is your 3.
Jabari is your 4.
Şengün is your 5.
So, and then coming off the bench, now you got Lawndale.
I like
got
the bench a lot,
Eason.
Though.
Right, the bench is actually good.
You got Amen, you got Kevin Porter, you got Tari, you got Tate. And you got Lawndale. That's
going
to push the
energy.
Starters.
That's
a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You guys believe in Jalen Green? Like, do you think Jalen Green has got, like, the thing? Like, does he have it?
It's a Kelly question.
He has something.
Well, I mean, he's got an amazing first step.
Amazing
right?
first step, and he has, like, the upside is still through the roof.
Yeah.
But I just think that the past 2 years have been a disservice to him because he wasn't put in the best position to succeed. He had to play alongside Kevin Porter Jr., who's not a natural playmaker, and who also was trying to develop his own,
sure.
you know, his own way. And now, last season, kind of the efficiency dropped a little bit. He did improve on his floaters, get into his mid-range, and the three is still good enough for me to believe in him long-term. But defensively, I need to see.
He like, doesn't have the body.
He's 195 now, is what I heard. So
he's so skinny, man.
I need to see how that translates to just being in front of the ball handler and just not getting lost. Like, Houston's biggest problem last season was they ball watched fault, and they never, you know, put
oh,
two
and that
together.
Won't happen now.
No. I mean, you're going to be on the bench if that
I
happens.
Think that they're going to be a better defensive team.
They have to.
Because they're going to be more organized.
Yeah.
Ime is a really, really solid coach. And you won't have to worry about him not having, like, the locker room's ear. Which is what they needed.
Right.
But I don't know if Jalen Green's that guy for me, and it's because of his body, largely because of his body. But now Dylan Brooks, you know,
he's the wild card.
Dylan Brooks is Dylan Brooks' favorite player.
That's
true.
Is
he supposed to lose shots to Jalen Green?
No, but I mean, the thing with Dylan Brooks is that.
You get where I'm coming from.
I know, yeah. I know what you mean.
VanVleet doesn't need the ball in his hands to be effective. Dylan Brooks is better off when the ball is not in his hands. I get the vision.
Yeah.
You want Jabari and you want Jalen Green and you want Alperen Şengün
yeah.
running your
it's a
offense.
Feature, yeah.
Great. But the reality is, Dylan Brooks, how many times a game did he shoot last year as the worst shooter in the league? I was like 15, 16 times a game?
Yep.
That is a problem. And he just got $20 million a season.
Yep.
It's a problem.
So I do think there is a world where Dylan comes in and he kind of galvanizes those young guys because he's going to get in your face. He doesn't care. And now he has $20 million to like $80 million to his name, so he doesn't really care if you're the number two pick, number three pick.
I think Dylan Brooks is a good pickup. I think he would have been a better pickup for a team like Cleveland because Cleveland needs an asshole.
They do.
They need somebody with a little bit of like some grit and willing to, you know, be not dirty, but he is dirty. But they didn't need a dirty player. They needed
the Sixers
a guy.
Could have needed a guy too.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's teams that need it. Houston is a little bit weird to me just because of the youth. Right? Because he's now almost in a similar situation to like 2 years ago in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he's now older. Like, so Dylan Brooks knows that if this Houston Rockets team winds up being good, it's going to be 3 years from now.
Yeah.
And he won't be on the team.
Yeah.
So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to go into business for himself, and I think it's going to ultimately hamper the development of those young guys.
So I think offensively is the biggest question mark for me with Dylan just because of how last season he had a down year. Like, he took bad shots.
He's got an ugly jumper.
This jumper is horrific. And, you know, the antics on social media, just everything just compounded to one big blob. And the Rockets took on that blob, and they gave it $80 million. Mm-hmm. So there's you better come in and kind of raise the temperature of that group. But it was chaos last season.
Right.
And you can't always fix chaos by adding a wild card.
Yeah.
You need structure. So
I think giving him $80 million, he might be playing the Westbrook theme song, Now I Do What I Want.
Yeah.
I hope it goes the other way, though. I hope Dylan Brooks is like, you know what? I know what they paid me for. And let me try to be that guy. Like, I hope he doesn't – I hope it's not
– He was in a great situation in Memphis.
Well, but
– Was he not?
No, I mean, he was on an expiring deal.
Was it great, though?
He was an expiring deal and knew he wasn't coming back.
But look at how he left.
The pecking order should have been established, though, like with the kind of players that he was on that roster with. And yet, he did not.
It's because of, you know, like people like Keith Parrish say Dylan Brooks is not as bad as you think. They just spread propaganda. We all just believe it. You need a guy to take shots. You need a guy to miss 16 shots a game. I just don't think so.
I like the defense.
Defense
I
is
like,
great.
I like that. The Rockets
again,
definitely need
who's
that.
Who's going to guard LeBron for Memphis, right? Like, Dylan Brooks was the answer to that question.
Yeah.
And I think Dylan Brooks
saw that story.
Dylan Brooks could have been the answer to that question for Cleveland. He could have been the answer to that question. And not LeBron, but that idea of a player. He could have been that answer for a lot of teams. Now, not at the money.
Yeah,
he got paid. Congratulations. But this sucks for the Houston youth. It is not going to go well.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It kind of feels like they're throwing the reboot, like the development plan away.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is
which is kind of wrong.
This is classic front office trying to save their job. And instead of saying we had a plan,
it's ownership. It's ownership stepping in and saying, hey, losing sucks.
You got to win now.
Please stop.
Yeah.
Stop this now. Because I would like to win basketball games. Okay.
And, yeah.
All right.
The Rockets have bummed me out, though. Sorry, Kelly.
The Rockets.
Torn a quad.
I was going to say. Okay. So I kind of think Dallas, just because of Luka, can still make the play-in.
Well,
still be in the top 10.
They're talented enough to do so.
Yeah.
I worry about New Orleans' health.
I don't think New Orleans has enough to get there.
Yeah. I would swap Dallas for New Orleans. And I would keep OKC. I would keep the Timberwolves.
Okay.
Feels
and that's
right.
The group that I would keep with New Orleans,
hard.
Utah, Blazers, Rockets, Spurs on the outside.
Yeah. Feels about right. I mean,
that's
listen,
tough.
We probably
heads are
going to
roll
this.
In Houston.
Roll.
27 wins. We probably haven't talked about this enough, but the Zion trade buzz situation,
okay.
Like, that's not dying down.
Okay.
And it makes me wonder if like that's a shoe that could drop between now and the start of the season.
Yeah.
Not a Zion trade, but I know like teams ask about Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
CJ McCollum is honestly a guy that they could potentially move on from. I mean,
yeah.
They have moves to make if they want to try to improve that team, but every single thing about that team is about Zion. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, if Zion's healthy, they're a top six team.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he's not...
Even potentially more than
they
that.
They were the one seed.
Yeah.
Were they one seed, two seed last year when he got hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, they were rolling. They were rolling. I mean, we had Jay King on this very podcast talking about Dyson Daniels for some reason.
He did that.
Below the Shaq Harrison line.
Yeah.
That's how
I like Dyson Daniels. He's got a chance.
But why is Jay talking about
it? He's a good player. That's right. Exactly.
Jay is trying to enter the smart NBA guy realm by talking about Dyson Daniels. Thanks so much for listening to this edition of the Athletic NBA Show here in Las Vegas. Stay tuned for more content coming at you. Stay locked in to the Athletic.